Janet Jackson is one of the biggest and most influential pop stars of the last four decades, but she's also endured plenty of controversies which extend beyond her infamous wardrobe malfunction at the 2004 Super Bowl.
Now she's the subject of a four-hour TV documentary called Janet Jackson. It's time to commemorate the 40th anniversary of her first album. I'm Aisha Harris.
And I'm Stephen Thompson. Today, we are talking about Janet Jackson on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining us is Sam Sanders, the host of NPR's It's Been a Minute. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it is such a pleasure. So the new Janet Jackson documentary is definitely authorized. She is a producer on it, along with her brother Randy, and it isn't stingy with the accolades. It makes sure we know that Janet Jackson has sold more than 160 million albums, won 5 Grammys, and been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame back in 2019. It makes sure to tell us about her time spent acting on TV shows like Good Times and Fame, as well as in movies like Poetic Justice, and it notes her influence on wave after wave of pop stars in the years since. But it also wrangles with several major controversies in Janet Jackson's life. As the youngest child of the Jackson family, she's had to overcome both a famously overbearing father slash manager and the complex legacy of her brother Michael, whose legal issues and sexual abuse allegations affected her own life and career. Janet Jackson's first two marriages to James DeBarge and Renee Elizondo Jr. were beset by rumors and strife, and her 2004 performance with Justin Timberlake at the Super Bowl concluded with the famous wardrobe malfunction that flashed her breast to a global audience and triggered a massive and massively unfair industry backlash. Aired over two nights on Lifetime and A&E, the documentary Janet Jackson tackles all these stories and more with lots of never-before-seen footage. Sam, I'm going to start with you. Give me your thoughts on Janet Jackson, the artist, and the documentary.
All right, so the artist, I'm still her biggest fan. But that's known. I have talked about Janet on my show a lot. And I think that, like, you leave this documentary still feeling very warmly about Janet Jackson. And I think she wants it to be that way. But, like, that's the case. Like, you still love her. That said, the documentary had some issues. Let's be real here. It had some issues. Namely, to start, it's 4 hours long. And they only spend, like, 12 minutes on Nipplegate. It's like, if I'm coming to you for 4 hours of Janet content, I need, like, a deep dive just on that moment, because that changed everything for her.
That's 4 hours with commercials. It's really like 40 minutes each episode.
Which is still longer than my 90-minute cap for all things. Like 90 minutes is all you need for all things.
Yes.
Really. And so that was the hardest part, having to watch something so long when at this point, if you're a Janet Jackson fan, you know most of this story.
Yeah.
And so while I was watching it, I could just kind of zone out for a bit, think of all the fun songs of hers that I love. And maybe every 30 or 40 minutes, there was like a new bit of information. And I found that like the new information about her relationship with Renee was perhaps the most interesting. You never heard too much about him when he was in the picture. And you realize watching this doc, He was kind of controlling and almost controlled her image and her look for years, which surprised me. But I wish there were more moments of new information for a Janet Jackson fan like me. But you watch the whole thing and you just like remind yourselves of all of her hits and you're thinking about Janet songs for the next 24 hours. That's fun.
Yeah.
All right. How about you, Aisha?
I'm also a huge, huge Janet fan. I've seen her live twice and I just have many visions of myself, my 10-year-old self, dancing in my room to Pleasure Principle over and over again.
Same.
Song is a jam.
Yeah, it's such a good song. I was never able to do the flip that she does in the video off the chair, but
I tried and hurt myself.
I tried. So I, like Sam, I came into this very much like, I know pretty much all there is to know, at least like the Wikipedia version of Janet and also the whole Jackson family. And so to watch this documentary was to just kind of be like, okay, yeah, I knew this already, but some of the footage is cool. I would have loved a version of this that was, as much as we learned that Renee was not exactly the best person for her, I would have loved a version of this that was just his footage, because apparently they had 10 years worth of footage and we see a lot of it. One of my favorite moments is when she's in the room recording Rhythm Nation and it's Renee's video and it's of Jimmy Jam and her going back and forth. And Jimmy Jam is being like, you need more energy. You need more energy. And she's like getting frustrated. Like, it's just that candid moment that, like, right. you might hear about people talking about it in an interview, but to actually witness it happening in the moment, okay. that was worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
I've been singing all night, and you keep saying, I'm sick of that.
There's no energy. You can hear the way it sounds. Ain't no energy on the song.
That moment for me was so surprising because you realize when you see it, you've never actually seen Janet Jackson be angry.
Right.
And you see her in the studio getting mad at her producers because they're making her record too late. And then she starts to kind of yell, but it's still in that sweet Janet Jackson whisper.
Yes.
And so she's
come
like,
on, guys.
I don't
come
know.
On, guys.
I think I'm tired and I'm going to go home. And you're like, oh, my God. This is still very much Janet, but I've never seen this side of her. And she still kind of sounds like Mickey Mouse. It's so cute. It was so cute.
Yeah, I think that that is a version I would have loved to just see all of that kind of footage. What this really is mostly is like a little bit of that and mostly just like a behind the music version of Janet Jackson's life. And so you're coming to this and you're getting the greatest hits, like, and we allied over so many different things very quickly. Gosh. And it comes and goes. And like, if you know the story, then you have to fill in the blanks yourself. James DeBar just kind of slips out of the picture. Then I'm just like, what? We've already moved on to Renee?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this documentary was fine, but did not learn really much of anything new.
Do you really think it was fine? What is the real word you want to use?
I mean, it was bland. It was really
okay.
bland.
Okay.
Yeah. You got it out of me. It was bland. One final thing I will add is that for whatever reason, Barry Bonds shows up for like half
a
second.
Oh, my God.
And
I'm so
like,
mad.
Why is Barry Bonds here?
Okay, so my thoughts on this thing. Bland is almost too kind.
Oof.
I found this documentary infuriating. And I really like Janet Jackson. I've liked her music for a really, really long time. I think she's been deeply unfairly treated. The Nipplegate stuff, which is 10, 15 minutes and then it's gone. I'm not sure I have ever seen a documentary that has so little to say about so much.
Aww.
And think about what this documentary is trying to cover. The story of her life is so riddled with success and controversy and massive fame, and also just like all these big picture issues. Not only does it have very little to say about any of them, each segment, each thing it's talking about, it gets done talking about it. And I'm like, wait, what about this? What about this? What about this? Even when it's something as uncontroversial as like, she had a baby. And you're like, oh, that's lovely. That's right. Yes, she had a baby. With whom?
Yes.
Literally never comes up.
I did have to Google at that moment and be like, who is her husband right now?
Yeah, he is never mentioned.
Well, didn't they break up? I thought they broke up.
No. I don't know.
Well, who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? I have seen documentaries that function as like filmed Wikipedia entries. I've seen biopics that function that way. This thing sent me to Wikipedia so
yes.
many times to
yes.
just be like, wait, what about such and such? What about this and that? Why didn't you ask the obvious follow-up question?
But Stephen, were you surprised by that? Whenever you have a documentary
no.
where the star of the documentary is also in charge of making the documentary, it's going to be hero worship, hagiography, and they're going to skip the parts that they don't want to talk about. So I wasn't surprised by it, you know?
Yeah.
It's still, it is a void in which no insight can find purchase. And some of that falls on Janet Jackson herself. Think
oh,
about
for sure.
Janet Jackson's life. Like, Janet Jackson has lived, I mean, all the Jacksons have lived in this really strange bubble where none of them got to have childhoods. Janet has never been in the world when she has not been under a microscope.
People forget she was in a Vegas lounge show with her brothers at the age of 7.
Yeah.
She was doing two shows a night in Vegas at the age of 7.
Right. And so it's only natural that she would be as guarded as she is. And I mean, and the Jacksons, this runs through the whole family. There is this guardedness. There are things that we don't talk about. And it's wild to me, like every issue that she talks about winds up getting presented in this weird way where you're like, wow, I would have thought there would be an easy answer to that question, but the way you answered it gives me 5 follow-up questions, none of which are asked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say the moment that made me do that the most, the kind of like, whoa, this is weird, I want some follow-up, when they do cover Nipplegate, you can see that it's almost as if they've added in some video in post of her mm-hmm. saying, no, me and Justin are still friends.
Right.
So they have all the footage of Nipplegate, and then they flash forward to, like, Janet making a home video herself on her iPhone saying, no, it's all good. Me and Justin are good.
Justin and I are very good friends, and we will always be very good friends. We spoke just a few days ago, and he and I have moved on, and it's time for everyone else to do the same.
I had so many follow-ups for that, but of course, so they just move on. They move on.
Yeah,
I have had follow-up questions for Justin Timberlake from several music documentaries that I've watched in the last year.
Also, what surprised me in that moment was that she talked about the aftermath right after Nipplegate, like the day after the game. Justin called her, she says, and is like, what should I do? And she said that she told him, you should lay low and say nothing.
He said, I don't know if I should come out and make a statement and this and that, or say something, have something to say. And I said, listen, I don't want any drama for you. They're aiming all of this at me. So I said, if I were you, I wouldn't say anything.
And I was like, wow, that is a level of gracious you didn't have to be. Can you talk about that some more?
Right.
Yeah. Of course she doesn't. Of course she doesn't.
And also, like, they never actually get into the Les Moonves of it all. And, like, this is where that other documentary that the New York Times did.
This is called Malfunction.
Yes. That actually unpacks what happened. The fact that she was basically blacklisted for a while. In this documentary, they briefly mention that she was disinvited from the Grammys. But they don't really talk about the fallout. And so I'm like, really? Like, what? I don't know. I just feel like so much of this glides over all these things that we've heard before. Like, there's a moment where they tee up that they're going to address this rumor of a love child between James DeBarge and Janet Jackson at the end of the first episode. And as soon as they prep it for the next episode, she's going to answer the question. They're like, so about this love child, and then, you know, editing so that it's, ooh, look, she's got a face.
And
they
pause.
Make it, yeah. And I knew, of course, she's not going to say that, yes, we have a love child. Like, and of course, she doesn't say it. So the way this documentary sort of tries to build up suspense around all the things that she's already spoken about before, or that we know there's not going to be this big reveal. It's the same thing with Michael, and the fact that one of the other episodes ends with the anticipation of her talking about his trial and the allegations against him and how it affected her. And she just says the same thing that she's always said, which is that I believe that he never did anything. And we were all in his corner, well, except for LaToya, but they don't even talk about LaToya. LaToya is mysteriously missing from this documentary. Yeah.
A lot more Reby than LaToya in this movie.
So much Reby.
Although I love Reby. Reby seems very sweet.
I like Reby.
I do like Reby. Reby seems very sweet. Reby, Randy, and Tito were like the only siblings in this.
Randy's the homie.
Yeah.
Randy's
sure. Really close.
I do think that if there's one thing that I take away from this, like Sam said, it just made me really appreciate her more in terms of her ability to be vulnerable, even when she was being vague. Like, I still feel as though she's vulnerable and genuine in a way that so many pop stars aren't or can't be. And I really appreciate the fact that she was able to sort of tap into that just sense of, like, I'm here, I'm resilient, and I just want everyone to love me. It's like, on a different pop star, it would come off as sort of coy and treacly. But on her, it just feels like this is who she is.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that about her.
Well, she also does this thing where she is one of the most powerful and, like, richest pop stars of our time. And yet you watch this documentary and you on your couch in your living room are like, oh, I hope she's okay. I'm worried about her. And that is a certain power.
Yeah.
People that rich and powerful who can get their fans to be concerned about their welfare for decades. Like, that is a certain power that Janet still has. And I found myself at the end of this documentary, like, saying to myself, oh, well, the story of Janet Jackson is the story of just, like, all the men in her life always getting in her way.
Oh, my God,
And I was mad about that for her. You know, like, you think about it from the start. Joe Jackson, her dad, was in her way. Michael Jackson, her brother, got in her way. That DeBarge that she married got in her way.
That DeBarge.
That DeBarge.
Her husband, Renee, became controlling and was in her way. Justin Timberlake was in her way. And, like, the story of Janet, at least in this version of it, is like a very resilient and talented woman who loves the men in her life who are always kind of slowing her down, and she just smiles through it. And I think with another pop star, that would just seem trite, but that storyline works for me because I think that she's just so likable. It's like, even now, you see Janet Jackson smile and nothing else matters.
Yes.
She has the best smile in pop.
She does.
Like, that will cover a multitude of sins, even the sin of this four-hour freaking documentary.
I don't know. I mean, I agree that she's very likable, and I agree that I root for her. I do think as an interview subject, she presents vulnerability without candor.
Which is a skill.
Which is a skill. But so much of this movie is like, I'm going to set the record straight and tell you once and for all the truth that I don't want to talk about that.
But like, are you surprised? That's just Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, I'm waiting for the unauthorized four-hour documentary. That will be the one that actually gives me something.
But I don't even know if that's possible because according to everyone close in her life, she also keeps them at a distance. Like the fact that so many people didn't know that she was married to Renee, like people she worked with and her family for a while didn't know she was married to DeBarge. So it's like she is very guarded for understandable reasons. And this documentary just made me actually not only marvel at her resilience, but also just made me really sad for her because she's still... In so many ways, you find that she's still sort of covering up for her the terrible, well, not terrible, but the not great men in her life.
And like, speaking of covering up the men in her life, she talks about this son that she has, and then we never see him.
Well, I don't know. We learned bits and pieces. We learned Paula Abdul, clearly very nice.
Yeah.
That was so sweet.
Paula.
We learned that we never want to see Barry Bonds on our television for any reason.
But still, we got to see her and MJ writing Scream together. So that was kind of cool.
That was cool.
Yeah.
When kicking me down.
I got to get up.
I got to get up.
As bad as it sounds.
As bad as it sounds.
The whole system.
I remember Scream and the Scream video, but I didn't realize until watching this documentary that her doing Scream with Michael was Janet helping him out.
Oh, yeah.
I had not realized that. No, there was so much good stuff in there, in spite of the length, in spite of the closed offness. I'm still on the side of this documentary because I think that, like, for the people who are going to like it, they're going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for everybody. It's not anything really new. But if you love Janet Jackson, you will enjoy watching 4 hours of Janet talking to you and playing her music. I think it'll work for a lot of folks.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to watch it regardless. So, like, it at the end of the day, it was like, I wish it was better, but also, like, I was going to watch it whether or not it was actually good or not.
I got to ask before we go, what's y'all's favorite Janet song?
Ooh.
Pleasure Principle, hands down.
Okay.
I'm going to say either Black Cat or Rhythm Nation.
Ooh, Black Cat.
I like Rockin' Janet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think her most anthemic song is probably Love Will Never Do Without You.
Yes.
It's a jam.
Yes.
It's a jam.
Yeah. Such a jam.
Yeah.
Well, we want to know what you think about Janet Jackson, the person, the documentary, the icon. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thanks so much to both of you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all tomorrow when we'll be talking about our first pop culture crushes.